But the biggest thing about that game, there was a little dust up between Joe Mazzulla and Jaylen Brown after something Jaylen maybe missed to the assignment, and Joe Mazzulla went out there immediately and just walked up to Jaylen and started da 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 da. And then Jaylen put his hand up in there, and they just jawed back and forth for about.
Did you catch this, Max? Did you catch this in real time, or you saw it after the fact?
No, real time. I'm looking at this in real time as they kind of went back and forth. I wasn't close enough to hear what they were saying, but you could tell they were animated. And because of that, I was wondering, like, okay, this could be one of those moments.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
All right, what's going on, guys? Another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. I am Josue Pavone. He is, of course, my co-host, Cedric Maxwell. Fresh off the road, the Celtics beating the San Antonio Spurs over the weekend, 121 to 116, putting a good end to that somewhat scary road trip, right, Max? Four-game road trip where things got pretty shaky before Dallas. That ass whooping from the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'll call it what it was, because that's really what it was, man. You know, without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the picture, but the Celtics bounced back in a big way, you know, taking down the hottest team in the NBA at the time in the Dallas Mavericks, beating up on Luka, defending him in a really encouraging way moving forward. And then to top off, to see them top off the San Antonio Spurs like they did is encouraging. But of course, with the good, Max, there's got to come the bad, right? And for the Celtics, it's Marcus Smart right now. That's his left knee contusion. He's doubtful for Monday's matchup against the Bulls. No word on what's going to happen between if he's going to be in the picture when the Celtics take on the Nets. But I guess we could start things right there before we look ahead on this episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. I think we could start with Marcus. And then also, I want you to tell me what stood out to you the most from that four-game road trip.
Well, I think I'll talk about the four-game road trip. Initially, you think about you were playing really well. And you came to a point after the little Christmas thing where, you know, the home road trip was not a good one. And then all of a sudden it turned out you start playing well. And then you go play a huge game, which was going to be a moneymaker for you, playing against Denver in Denver, first game of the year. And essentially go out to Denver and you lay an egg. You didn't play well. Jason Tatum kind of struggled. Brown was pretty good, and that was, you know, expected. Could have been expected playing a hot team like Denver. But then you go down to play OKC, where you have all your players. As you said, they're missing one of their best players in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and they put 100, and we like to say, Josue, put 150 on you. They dropped it on you like
I thought you were going to say 150. They dropped 150 on them, Max.
Yeah. I mean, they dropped it on them, and it was probably, in my opinion, I said this on air, I think it probably was the worst effort that I've seen the Celtics have, maybe since I've been here in 26 years as a broadcaster. And your effort should never be in question. Your shot selection, not making shots, but your effort to go out there and compete, the Celtics never did that. And I was really kind of bummed by that, those first two games. And then my broadcast partner, Sean Grandy, was telling me, whoa, you don't want to play Dallas. And I said, hey, Dallas is exactly what you need. And the Celtics came out and they laid a belt on Dallas. Luka early on was up and down. And if Luka's not going to hit you with 40 plus, then Dallas is going to have a tough time winning the basketball game. They defended well. Tatum got going later on. Brown got going. And the Celtics just really did a number against, you know, Dallas. And then turned around against San Antonio. San Antonio was out without three starters. And San Antonio close to beating you. They had the ball on their fingertips to go ahead late in that basketball game. You were able to escape. But the biggest thing about that game, there was a little dust up between Joe Mazzulla and Jaylen Brown after – something Jaylen maybe missed to the assignment, and Joe Mazzulla went out there immediately and just walked up to Jaylen and started da 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 da. And then Jaylen put his hand up in there and they just jawed back and forth for about.
Did you catch this, Max? Did you catch this in real time, or you saw it after the fact?
I'm looking at this in real time as they kind of went back and forth. I wasn't close enough to hear what they were saying, but you could tell they were animated. And because of that, I was wondering, like, okay, this could be one of those moments. And I think Jalen came out and the next play down against San Antonio, he hits a shot and Joe Mazzulla goes out to kind of, you know, high five the players and, you know, that stuff. Like, okay, guys, let's get it going and walk up to Brown. And Brown gave one of them half like, yeah, whatever, man. So that was kind of a funny moment. But I think a moment sometimes which is needed in the game to show the players who the coach is and the players and the coach who the, you know, back and forth. Mm-hmm. So I think that Joe Mazzulla kind of handled it the right way. And you, as a player, you have to be able to take criticism. Sometimes it's not right as a coach, but sometimes you have to take that criticism and move on from there.
Yeah, I was going to say, Max, you appreciate moments like this because you like to see a team kind of go through it, their characters meshing, obviously. But you think that's part of what a championship team needs to go through, right? Like these sort of where people are going to clash and have their opinions about what happened, right?
No team is going to go through a regular season, 82 games, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. You're going to have moments. And here's the best thing about it. If the Celtics have the best record in the league and they're going through it, what's going on with some of these other teams? You know, and everything was ice cream and candy for a while. When you think about Joe Mazzulla and this team, the way they were playing early on, I remember at the time Sean Grandy, my broadcast partner, said, the best offense in the history of the NBA. Dude, we only played 20 games. Let it ride.
You're never going to let him live that down, man. You're never going to let him live that down.
I mean, you just don't. In the 20-game span in the NBA, that's not enough. That's not a window. They do have – if they're knocking down shots, they are – this team right now plays like Golden State, but they have to be knocking down shots. The defense has been a little suspect lately. What I was encouraged by was watching Rob Williams, though. Rob Williams is really good. He was active. He was blocking shots. He was running.
Yeah, Rob is back.
Floor. Yeah. So if you can have him playing a high level, it changes what you do defensively. And that's a good thing for the Celtics.
For sure. No question. And you know, the news of Marcus Smart is just, man, like the worst timing of it, because you want to see what this team's going to look like going into this week, playing against the Chicago Bulls. Well, they got a chance to even up this series, because you remember what happened last time when these two teams played in Chicago. I mean, the Bulls really gave it to them, and I feel like they have a really good shot of winning that series Monday night. But we'll see what happens if the Celtics can do it without Marcus Smart. But I'm glad we're starting with Jalen, because I feel like Jalen's been showing me so much sign of maturity. He's been known for that, right? He does that year after year, and this one has been no different. But he's taking things to another level. Like, I loved hearing the story that, you know, after the OKC game, that he approached Marcus Smart and was like, look, you know, don't worry about it. We got this one. Because Marcus Smart was ejected at the end of that one, right? Which was like the cherry on top. But he's like, look, don't worry about that. I'm going to get Luka. And then, of course, he carried that message to the coach saying, look, I got Luka. I'm going to guard him. And you know, that's the sign of a leader, you know. And Marcus Smart talked about it after that game. Like, man, 2 years ago, Jalen's not doing that. You know, he's not going to be that vocal. That just wasn't who he was. But now that he's matured, he's reached this level, he's playing at an all-time, all-NBA level, if you ask me, you know. And this is sort of part of it as well. Like, this is Jalen showing who he is and when he's going to voice his opinion. And, of course, you don't want to see this thing often, but every so often, hey, a star player and his coach are going to clash. I mean, that's going
to
happen.
Both the Jays have to be that way. If you're going to win it all, you're going to have that kind of performance from both those guys, stepping up and be vocal offensively and defensively. And, you know, telling guys how they feel. And that's how you win basketball games. You're not going to win it by just, okay, I'm just sitting back watching. But I think that was a real good thing that they talked about and said, look, this is what I want to do. And they went out and they played well. Now we'll see what happens with Marcus being out. I mean, this is probably time for a guy like Peyton Pritchard, you know, who's kind of been so up and down this year, really hasn't had a what we thought would be a Peyton Pritchard year. Maybe this is a time for him to start. and come in. Derek White was really good. It's been really good here. So
yeah, I've liked him recently too.
Brogdon has been good. So this team, you know, this team is really kind of playing well. If there's one guy that has probably backed down a little bit and not playing at that level, it might be Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, who, you know, every place you go, MVP, MVP. Well, it wasn't like that in Dallas. I mean, it wasn't like that for a little bit in Dallas, but it wasn't like that.
Second half.
It wasn't like that. So you're going to look for him to have a bounce back. I don't think you can go through a whole year and just be lights out. But, you know, here's the thing I do feel. These next couple of games will be some big games. Like you said, playing home against Chicago, getting a chance to meet Brooklyn. You're seeing Zion probably won't play, but you're still seeing a very good OKC team. So you have some good teams that are coming up, and then you finish off with two games in Charlotte. Very winnable games, but Charlotte has gone in with they went into Milwaukee, and they laid a beating on Milwaukee. You have
That's right.
What the hell's going on now with Milwaukee? Because Milwaukee's losing some games at home with Giannis playing. I mean, they were down by 50. I think it was down in – Orlando at one time this year. So I just think that you kind of wonder right now who's the most dominant team in the NBA. You don't really see it. And as soon as you said that, you look at Brooklyn, who was probably, you know, that team that was right on your heels playing well, and Kevin Durant might be out for a while with a
Right before we hit record, Max. Crazy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I just think it's unfortunate because we want to see this matchup between the Celtics and Nets. You know, the Nets going off on a 12-game winning streak, which was snapped, but then now they're trying to start another one. You know, we're not quite sure what's going to happen between the Nets and the Heat. That game's still going on as it's being recorded right now, but it's safe to say that this is the best brand of basketball we've seen out of Brooklyn, and everything changed essentially right when Coach Vaughn took over. You know, he's got these guys focused and dialed in, and you know, you've been asking about Ben Simmons. Well, he's playing defense again. And then now your best player might be out for quite some time here, Kevin Durant. It looks like a sprain. It looks like he fell, or Jimmy Butler, rather, going up for a layup. Ben Simmons trying to block it, and he lost his balance, fell right on top of Kevin Durant. Now, all of a sudden, it looks like he could miss some time here.
Well, if Kevin Durant missed some time, it's going to change what this team has done. But I still feel this way. If there's a kryptonite in the NBA for Brooklyn, I think it's the Celtics. Whatever it is, I think the Celtics have their number. If you watch how the Celtics have played them recently, they've just been the more dominant team, the more aggressive. Tatum has outplayed Durant. Jaylen Brown has been spectacular. They've had guys come off knocking down shots. And essentially, they did that without Rob Williams being around. So I'm really curious to see what happens here this week with this team starting out tomorrow against Chicago.
No question. And I'm glad you brought up Peyton Pritchard too, because I mean, that's why I'm so happy with this Celtics, this guard depth that they have. You know, a couple of weeks ago, there were reports saying that, oh, the Celtics could shake things up. And, you know, if Peyton Pritchard's not getting the minutes that he can earn elsewhere, then maybe they should make a deal. I'm like, no. That's why you have a Peyton Pritchard, right? For moments like this, whether it's Marcus, whether it's Malcolm Brogdon. I mean, these are two guards that are prone to miss games. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Are they dominant when they're active? Or is the team different when they're out there? Absolutely, 100%. But right now, it's Marcus. You know, Malcolm Brogdon has bounced back nicely in this past week or so. He's been very efficient, you know, on offense. So you want to see that, you know, continue. But this is a great opportunity for Peyton Pritchard, I think. And you don't want to rush someone like Marcus Smart, because we know how important he is to this team. And hopefully this isn't a sprain. Hopefully it is a contusion. And, you know, it's just going to take some rest for him to bounce right back.
Marcus takes these all the time of getting hit in the legs.
Right.
How hard he plays coming off these picks. So, yeah, those things are expected to happen, but you do have to have those quality backups. You know, changing gears, though, I like what you were saying a little bit before. We wanted to talk about Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp because, whew, that's
been – Oh, yeah, we talked about that before I hit record. That's right. Yeah.
that's been like fireworks. People ask me all the time, you know, when you're working with a broadcast partner so long, and Shannon Sharp has been – with Skip Bayless for 3-4 years now? at least something like that?
No, and it's been about a decade, almost a decade now. Like 7 years, I want to say.
Maybe I'd say seven, but I wouldn't think of it.
Because remember, he left ESPN to go to FS1. So, yeah.
Well, what they've come out to be one of the more entertaining, duos. But boy, I tell you, Shannon Sharpe has been, Skip Bayless has touched a nerve on Shannon Sharpe from time to time. And Shannon Sharpe.
No question.
And recently, I just saw something where, and I think it kind of started when I think Shannon Sharpe was saying something about Tom Brady. And then all of a sudden Skip Bayless said, well, you're jealous of Tom Brady. And boy, he touched a nerve then because he said, look, you know, I'm a freaking Hall of Famer. I'm an effing Hall of Famer. And I'm not jealous about that, man. And every time I say something, you go beating me down like I have some jealousy. And it started from there. It seemed like a fuse was lit. And since it seemed like some, I don't know, like some mistrust. Like and they're getting it out on the air. And the last thing was what Skip Bayless had written right after the gentleman got hurt from Cincinnati.
Bill Safety, DeMar Hamlin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, which first and foremost, man, I want to say, man, prayers up to, we're so happy for his recovery and his family, man. Cause to see a player suffer cardiac arrest during a game, man, that was just one of the scariest things I've seen. Look, I didn't see it live, but when I saw it after the fact, man, I can't imagine. And
I think the only thing I can put that in perspective of me seeing was Hank Gathers. When Hank Gathers, the great player who played at Loyola in California, he ended up going down and essentially died right there on the floor. That was crazy. So for that to happen, but then Skip Bayless tweeted out, like he said something to the fact, like, wow, what an important game it was. And
right. You know, well, I got it right here. Hold on. To me, it's the second part that didn't sit well with people.
But no,
this is what he wrote.
Yeah.
Or maybe the first part. All right. Yeah. He says, okay. No doubt the NFL is considering postponing the rest of this game, but how? This late in the season, a game of this magnitude is crucial to the regular season outcome, .. which suddenly seems so irrelevant.
Yes.
Now, if you read a text like that, you can say it either way, right? You can say it with the tone towards the end and be like, which seems so irrelevant now, which would be insensitive, right? Or you can say, irrelevant, Max.
It doesn't seem that tone at the end was like, but you know, it just seems irrelevant. And
it sounds like he's disappointed though, Max. Sounds like he's mad that it's irrelevant.
I think that to me, it seems like he's irrelevant about the importance of the game. That's what I got out of it. I didn't get anything else other than that. And man, there are people who are, and I, like you said, people that found that tweet and they've gone back and forth. Some people were just blown away with his insensitivity. I think it was Terrell Owens said the most unsensitive comment ever made.
He flipped out. He was livid.
And I remember Shannon Sharpe the other day, they were talking on air, him and Skip Bayless, and they finally got to the and Skip Bayless cut him off. And Shannon Sharpe said, I was going through my dialogue and hell, I can't even do my damn dialogue.
Yeah, yeah. That was right after they started too. Right in the beginning. Yeah.
He's like, Jenny, go ahead. You go ahead, Jenny. And it was like so uncomfortable. And he said something to the point of like, we're supposed to be here talking about your comment. And I was going to come. And he said something about you were going to say you were sorry. And Skip Bayless doubled down and said, I'm not sorry. He said, I didn't mean anything.
Oh, no. Well, he wouldn't delete the tweet. He wouldn't delete the tweet.
And for me, I'm like, at what point do you delete the tweet? What does it do after you delete it? And millions of people have read it already. What how does that change anything?
It's like an unofficial apology. But I'm with you, Max. I get it. But like I don't understand why people are so like focused on that part. Like remember the whole Jalen thing he tweeted out that group that was outside the Barclays Center and people were like, and I knew eventually he would do it, but I knew he would take his time with it. And that was the thing, like 24 hours later, why hasn't he deleted it 48 hours later? You know, Jalen still got that tweet up. I'm like, he's going to do it when he feels like it. He's not going to do it because you told him to.
I don't think he should have took it down. I think the tweet should have stayed. And then he says under it, he said, look, I was mistaken. I was mistaken. Right. Because once you put a tweet out there, unfortunately, it's there for the world. Nobody's right. going. Nobody. It's always going to be there, and people are always going to be able to read it.
Someone's going to screenshot it, no matter what.
Yeah, right. It's no need of taking it down. You make your you explain what it is, and you go on from there. But you know that's the thing about mashing that button, Josue. Well, that's the thing about being on air, doing a podcast or whatever it is. You have to be careful with this kind of medium. You just have right. to be because we all can be, you know, you and I have talked about things before and we're able to kind of go back on them and say, oh, maybe, you know, maybe we shouldn't have said or talked about something. But man, when you do live
TV, you may have or may not have had me edit a couple of podcasts. Maybe.
Oh, absolutely. No. we have done that. And even when I was about to tweet out something and it would have been just as insensitive, and I was trying to comment, I was talking about John Lewis, the great senator who died from Georgia a couple of years, probably over a year and a half ago, whenever John Lewis died. And he was having to be in Boston. And I took a picture with him. And Nick Joso, our guy, and he asked me, what did you want to say?
What up, Nick?
I said, John Lewis, here I am at 6'8", John Lewis at 5'6". And I'm standing over him, towering. I said, John Lewis made me feel like a midget. And all of a sudden, Nick Joso said, oh my God, you can't use that word. And I wasn't trying to be insensitive. It was just something I said. He made me feel.
I forgot all about this. I was like, where are you going with this? Now I remember.
He made me feel small in stature. He felt like a giant over me. And I was just trying to say how small I felt physically. But you know, those things, you know, they get out there, and sometimes you maybe, you know, get ahead of your tweet, sometimes because you do a podcast, but sometimes you'll tell a story like this and say, man, what happens if that goes out? That I say that and it's tweeted. Even right now, people are probably going to go, I can't believe that you would say that. But I wasn't making a comparison I was comparing him just how big, how just overwhelming this man seemed.
His
era made a guy at 6'8", seems like I was 5'1", standing under him. So, I mean, those things come up broadcasting.
This new episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season, everything from NFL and bowl season to esports. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite leagues and events. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Well, this also hit close to home, right? Because people forget about Shannon Sharpe's brother. Remember, he had a career-ending neck injury, I believe, right? And that's something that completely changed his mindset in the sense of how he wanted to navigate towards the NFL and not spend too much time in college and all that stuff. But I just think, look, it could go either way. Like, I can understand how people would read a tweet like that and think, man, that's so insensitive. Because again, I think it's the timing of it too. You know, I think everyone's ready to react, but also, I mean, he's been losing popularity for the past 2-3 years anyways. Right. I feel like people have just been really sensitive to what,
I don't know if he's lost popularity. I think that people just think he's a little bit more out there with his opinion, that people feel like that he's ready to step on you, that sometimes he says things in a mean-spirited way. It's like lately I've been reading tweets where he's talking about he's Team LeBron now. But forever he was, oh, LeBron's a bum and
he would get Celtics fans all pumped up. Yeah, right.
Now, how do you turn from being anti-LeBron all of a sudden like, oh my God, he's the best thing since sliced bread? So I think there are schools of thought that you have when it comes to that.
I wonder what Stephen A. Smith thinks about all this. I mean, he's never going to tell you, you know, off the record. He's never going to say anything. But you think he likes this?
Oh, come on, man. Come on. It vindicates him with, you know, with some of the things he's always.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
They
yeah.
had when it comes to Skip Bayless, because him and Skip Bayless, yeah. they butt heads, man, going back and forth, you know, off and on. And here's the thing Shannon Sharpe has, which, you know, unfortunately is there, is that this man was a great athlete. He's one of the greatest football players. When you're at the Hall of Fame in football, one of the greatest football players to do it. And now you look at his persona as a broadcaster. What he does to me, he scratches the common man's ass. And he does it so well. I mean, because he's coming up.
That's with, a great saying.
Yeah, but he comes up there with his cigars and, you know, his bottle of liquor and cognac and this, that. And the common person just gets off on that. Whereas a goat
he's head. Unc. That's Uncle Shannon. Uncle Shannon.
I mean, whereas a goat head on TV. I mean, that has, broadcasters have changed. He's one. I look at Perk talking about, I talked to Perk the other day. He was at the game talking about the Escalade. Man, there ain't nothing but the Escalade right there. You changed that for a Pinto. So, I mean, Shannon Sharpe has done a great job. And I think people really like Shannon Sharpe. And when he goes to Skip Bayless, I think he's looked at as the good guy and Skip Bayless is looked at as the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. No question.
Yeah,
for sure. You know what? I didn't even think about it like that, though. The way you frame that that topic, this topic that we're talking about right now, between you and Grady, I mean, man, 82 games a season. Obviously, there's the playoffs. All those deep playoff runs.
20 years of Sean Grady. You don't think there's been a time where he wanted to wring my neck or I wanted to wring his? I mean, but that goes when you around somebody more than you are your family members. We've had 20 years together. I've spent more time with Sean Grady than anybody, my kids, my family over the last 20 years. So those things go. You're gonna have disagreements. You're gonna have arguments, especially if both people are strong-willed and strong about a subject. And you're never going to agree always. Very seldom you're going to have. And you know what? They don't really like for you to agree. I mean, if you think about it, that's must see TV when you see those two guys go back and forth. So I'm sure that the broadcasters or the producers of the show really don't really have a overwhelming problem with it until it gets, you know, almost to the point where they look like Shannon Sharpe wanted to fight the other day.
They're loving this. This is great. This is great for them.
If you say one more thing, I'm going to come across this damn table and I'm going to kick your ass. Now, that would have been like, whoa.
That's when the producers are coming out like, whoa, hold on. Yeah.
And you know the young lady, what's her name that's there? You know she can't do nothing.
She's going to run for security, man.
Yeah, she's not. I don't even know if she's on set with them or in another room, but Jen, I think, is her name. And what is she going to do? If Shannon's still unloading on Skip, that would be one of the ugliest things. Skip Bayless is.
They're going to cut the commercial.
Skip Bayless, somebody's going to have it. Somebody's going to have a tape of that. Skip Bayless is maybe 5'8", maybe 5'7", you know, 175, maybe 165. Shannon Sharpe, you know, 6'4". Maybe 255 and looks like he's built like a brick wall. That would be unbelievable to see that.
Oh man, that would be. I know that's your boy, so I wanted to. Yeah, that's why I wanted to. I wonder what you thought about. We talked about a little bit in Dallas, but yeah. Wanted to give you the floor here to talk about that.
Yeah, those things happen, but you know, as usual, what we do, and you know, we appreciate you, viewers, and
yes. You know, keep it 100 on this side. That's what we do.
You know we keep it on 100. So
you know, Max, after you just said all that, you just reminded me of that we had someone reviewed our podcast recently, and I love this one line he said in the review. He was like, the two really agree, but when they do, even when they do, they find a way to argue about it. I'm like, that's pretty spot on. that's what we do here. For sure.
It probably is, but it makes for a good podcast.
Exactly.
People
exactly.
Going back and forth and giving. I think the most boring podcasts to me are the podcasts where two people get up there and they agree about everything. And one
every
guy,
single thing.
So,
right.
And one guy is so at the point where he's patting the other guy on the back so much, it's all the way down to his ass. So I just think that, you know, you have to have those right. You have those small moments where you disagree, but you disagree, I think, respectfully. And when you do that, I think that the listener or the viewer, to me, he always is able to take that in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what we do here at the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. That's going to do it for us. Everyone, you already know, we always remind you guys, you haven't already, subscribe, rate, review. It does help us. It goes a long way. And we'll be back next time we check in with you guys, man. We're going to be out in Charlotte. So I'm really looking forward to that, man. Two games, two matchups between the Celtics and the Hornets. And, of course, it's going to be MLK weekend. So we'll have something special planned for you guys in our next episode, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Peace out.
We'll see you guys then. Take care, guys.
Later.